The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. Companies to watch.
Good morning. Welcome to the Breakfast Huddle on Companies to Watch. We are focusing the spotlight on REITers. This is the REIT Association of Singapore. And of course, REITs have been under the spotlight in the recent few weeks. For example, in budget announced last month, there was some welcome news on that front. A couple of tax exemptions and concessions were due to expire, and they had either their sunset clause removed or their expiry dates extended. For example, we had the removal of the sunset clause for tax exemption for S-REITs and REIT ETF distributions. Other tax concessions were due to expire next year, and this was extended for another 5 years. Well, what else can we look out for on the REITs front? We have with us today Nupur Joshi, CEO of the REIT Association of Singapore, or REITAS. Morning, Nupur. How was your weekend?
Yeah, thank you so much, Ryan. Thank you for having me. Weekend was good.
Well, weekend is always good. Well, let's talk about what you're doing with the industry body. It represents REITs, REITAS, and of course, your members comprise about 85% of Singapore REITs listed here. What is the mission of REITAS?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, so the REIT Association of Singapore, REITAS in short, was born around 4.5 years ago. And as you said, we comprise 85% of the listed REITs and property trusts here in Singapore. So we are Singapore REIT focused, so very focused in that sense. We have, just to give you an idea of what we do, our overall mission is really to strengthen the S-REIT industry in Singapore. And we do that through four main areas of work. On the regulatory side, we liaise with regulators. Mm-hmm. If there are common issues, which a number of or many of our REITs are facing, then it's more practical from an industry perspective that we as the industry voice go to the regulators and explain to them. So that's one kind of work that we do. Another area is on education. We do a lot of on educating investors, retail investors, high net worth, institutional investors on how the different REITs are doing, giving them updates, essentially providing a platform for investors to hear directly from the REIT CEOs, senior management about how the REITs are performing. In fact, we have a quarterly education series. Every quarter we are in at the SGX Center. Two REIT CEOs present. There's Q&A from the audience. So if you just go to our website, REITAS.SG, you'll see plenty of information.
So really pushing this, the REIT industry to be, I guess, Singapore to be a REIT hub.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, one of the things unique about Singapore is that it used to be called an Asia-Pac REIT hub, but now more and more it's becoming a global REIT hub. We have REITs from all over, sponsors from all over the world who are trying to list their REITs in Singapore. In fact, 9 out of the 10 REIT IPOs have been of REITs with wholly foreign assets. So the REIT landscape is changing, and the REIT Association is really here to make sure that as we grow, we are a cohesive unit, and you know, we want the industry, we want the Singapore REIT industry to grow and develop.
So Nupur, just digress slightly. You are the CEO of the REIT Association of Singapore, but we also hear quite a lot from another voice. He is Andrew Lim, the president of the REIT Association of Singapore. He's also the group financial officer of CapitaLand. What is the difference in your role?
Yeah, sure. So just to give you an idea of our structure, Andrew Lim is our president, and he's part of the executive committee of REITAS, which is essentially 11 senior members from across the industry, from other sponsor groups, from banks and so forth. So they are essentially like a board of directors. They provide guidance and strategic direction. But of course, they are all busy with their day-to-day jobs, running CapitaLand or Frasers or what have you. Where the REIT Association comes in, we are the secretariat. On a day-to-day basis, we are the ones who actually execute.
Job.
This is my full-time job.
Walk us through what happened in 2018 for the REITs market. It seemed like we had the property cooling measures in July, weighing down on the property market. And that actually turned some investors to the REITs industry because it was not as attractive to hold on to developers anymore.
Yeah, sure. So that was one of the effects which happened in July. But more important, I think through the course of the year, we were generally in a rising interest rate environment. The Fed was raising rates. And usually in a rising interest rate environment, the investors are a bit more cautious about investing in REITs. Although having said that, most REITs are quite prudent in their capital management. They tend to hedge 70 to 80% of their interest costs into fixed rates. So the impact of rising rates really is not that much, but it does impact sentiment. agreement. And yes, as you mentioned, the cooling measures, which was something on the residential side, so didn't affect REITs directly, but there was a funds flow effect. And yes, there. So that was the effect of what was going on through most of 2018. And then as we go into 2019, as you know, the Fed is now kind of
slowing growth. Slow,
exactly.
The world.
You know, they're saying they're not going to raise interest rates as much and as frequently as was once fear or thought. And so, you know, REITs are kind of back. So last year, just to give you some numbers, total return of the FTSE Street Index, we were actually down 6% for the year. But this year, we are up 9% YTD. So we're doing well. And at least most analyst reports that I have seen, they are quite positive for REITs this year.
No, as a REIT association, I'm sure hear a lot of feedback or even complaints from members. What do they want right now?
I think not so much of complaints. I guess the most important thing that's happening is that the REIT landscape is changing very fast. I guess, like in most industries, you know, I would probably say three big macro changes that are happening from a REIT sector perspective is, number one, disruption in the various asset classes. Number two, overseas expansion. I'll get to each of these points. Mm-hmm. And number three, competition for acquiring assets. So the first point on disruption, as you know, for example, in the office space, we have new kinds of players, like co-working operators are there, and it affects, obviously, the way the whole asset class is operating. And so REIT owners who have office properties have to think through and, you know, quickly be nimble and figure out how to realign their portfolio to the new market trends. So that's just an example. Similarly, if you're a REIT, you know, senior manager in an industrial REIT, you know, we know that industry is moving more high tech. And so if you have older properties, you need to move to more higher value added ones. So there is a repositioning that needs to be done given the disruptions that are happening in the different asset classes. And that's something that all REITs are working through. The other big trend that's happening is our Singapore REITs are now acquiring more and more properties outside of Singapore. Number one, because there's not that much left to acquire in Singapore. And number two, if you want to grow, you know, the world is big and there are very, very good properties overseas. And so it's an opportunity, but it's also obviously not easy. It's a challenge. You have to understand a new market, understand it thoroughly, both from the ground up, the real estate part, the capital management part, how the REIT distributions will going to come through to Singapore. So, I mean, just to give you a feel of the magnitude of this trend right now, we have 42 REITs and property trusts in the Singapore Exchange, and over 75% have properties outside of Singapore. Mm. And this compares with 65% 5 years ago. So you'll see that when you read news about, you know, REITs acquiring properties, more often than not, there'll be properties outside of Singapore. And so it's just a challenge and an opportunity. And so that's the second point I'd like to make. The third one is the competition for acquiring assets has really become quite fierce. You know, REITs are not the only ones out there trying to acquire assets. And so you have sovereign wealth funds, you have insurance companies, you have the private real estate companies. And so we are, you know, once you're in the global arena, you're competing with more and more players with deeper pockets in many cases. And so as our REITs try very hard to grow and deliver a stable and hopefully increasing DPU, they are faced with this global challenging environment.
We're speaking of Nupur Joshi, CEO of REIT Association of Singapore. Nupur, one of the things that you're trying to do as an association is to adjust the gearing limit. Right now, the gearing cap for the industry is 45%. How does this compare to elsewhere, and why does REITers believe that this needs to be raised?
Yeah, sure. So the gearing cap is 45%. So in other established REIT markets of the world, which would be US, Australia, Japan, there's actually no limit on how much the REITs can gear up. And so just going back to my previous point, when I was saying that REITs are now going more and more overseas to acquire for assets. So when they go overseas, they are hitting across or competing with these other market players who don't have a gearing limit. So what this effectively means in financial terms is that when you are bidding for assets to acquire property, if there's a Singapore REIT who's out there, let's say bidding at a 35, 40 or 45% you know, debt to asset level, and there are others who are bidding at 60%, then quite obviously, because debt is cheaper than equity, the weighted average cost of capital for the other players is much lower. And so they are able to compete more effectively. So essentially what REITAS is saying is that we would like to have a more even playing field. Certainly, we are not asking for a removal of the gearing limit. That's not what we are asking for. But we just want to highlight the fact that many of the competitors that we have out there in the world are actually gearing up to 60% or so. And it's difficult or more challenging for our REITs when they are out there
so
trying to buy properties.
So these limits are actually in place to protect investors, some parts of it. How do you balance between protecting investors and being competitive? What is that number that you're looking for?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think no one has the magic number. I'm sure the regulators and MAS and so forth think deeply about that as well. In fact, there was a change in the gearing limit a few years ago. It used to be a two-tier system where the gearing limit for REITs was 60% if they had a credit rating and 35% if they did not. Then they tweaked it a few years ago. So now we are at 45%, no credit rating required for everyone. So there's no magic number, but we did our own internal study of REITs across the world, REIT regimes, and we did find that in most cases, around 50% is where the REIT, even if in markets where there are no gearing limits, the average gearing of the REITs tended to be around 50%. So that's not the number I'm advocating, but I'm just to give you an idea, that could be a number that could be considered. But yeah, it's for the regulators to make that balance because for sure, the unit holders absolutely need to be protected and safeguarded. And in fact, one of the reasons why the Singapore REIT industry has done so well is because of the prudent regulatory environment for Singapore REITs. So yes.
All right. We've been chatting with Nupur Joshi, CEO of the REIT Association of Singapore. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Nupur. I hope to have you back again soon.
Okay, thank you so much, Ryan. Thank you so much.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.